Jesus gives us a most serious warning in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, starting with verse 21. Matthew, chapter 7, starting with verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." To me, that's a very serious warning. And the name of my sermon today is Who Will Live in Eternity? Those of you who remember my last two sermons, the first was about the holy city, New Jerusalem. And the second was about the other aspects of heaven. And today I want to focus on how we enter heaven spiritually. Jesus says, the person who enters heaven is he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If you notice in verse 22, it appears that these people were active in the Lord's work. Verse 22 mentions prophesying, casting out devils, performing many wonderful works in the Lord's name. So it appears that they were doing the Lord's work. But we know from verse 23, they didn't know the Lord of the work. Jesus says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Let us look at some of the characteristics of the people who will enter heaven. Let's back up in the same book to chapter 5. We'll read verses 5, 8, and 11. It says in verse 5, "Blessed are the meek," in other words, the humble, "for they shall inherit the earth." It won't be the proud and egotistical who inherit the earth, friends, the humble, the meek. Verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Remember David's prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." When Jesus mentions those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, he's talking about those who are willing to suffer for God, to be persecuted for him rather than disobey their Lord. So those are some of the characteristics of the people who will inherit eternal life, those who will live in eternity. Now I want to take you to the book of Revelation. Jesus makes some promises to the overcomers. Let's go to chapter 2. We'll read 7, 11 and 17. Revelation chapter 2. Yeah, chapter 2 and 3, if you remember, are the chapters where Jesus instructs John to write letters to the seven churches. Chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Eating of the tree of life, friends, is something that God's people will be doing in eternity. And he makes this promise to him that overcometh. Same chapter, verse 11. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." In other words, he will not be destroyed in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Then verse 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving him saving him that receiveth it. So that's another promise. We each, as mentioned the last time, we each have a temporary name, but Jesus will give the overcomers, each one of us who overcomes, an eternal name, a new name in heaven. Even the Lord himself will have a new name. Let's look at chapter 3. The promises continue. Verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In other words, if you're not in the book of life, your name will not be confessed before the Father and before the angels in heaven. Remember, Jesus warns us, he that denies me on earth, I will deny him in heaven. Let's read verse 12, same chapter. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. So you yourself will be given a new name in a white stone, and Jesus' new name will be written upon you. And then in same chapter, verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So these are all promises to those who overcome. And those who overcome are the ones who will inherit eternal life, the ones who will live in eternity. Now the question is, what do they overcome? Let's back up, 1 John 5:4. One question I invite you all to ask yourselves, friends, is those promises to the overcomers, are those promises that you want to be a partaker of? Is that what you really want? Do you really want to go to heaven and sit with Jesus in his throne? Do you want to eat of the tree of life? Do you want Jesus' new name written on you? 1 John 5:4. It reads, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the overcomers are people who overcome the world. And what is it about the world that they overcome? Same book, chapter 2, starting in verse 13. John says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Speaking of the devil. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. We have to remember that. The wicked one is in this world, friends. We have to overcome him. Remember what Paul says? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Only in Christ's strength can we overcome the wicked one, friends. Continuing, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's stop right there. We have to remember that when we read the Bible, the term world has different meanings depending on the context it's used in. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's talking about the people in the world. God so loved the people in the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that they may have eternal salvation. But here, John the Apostle tells us to not love the world. What is he talking about? The ways of the world. Not to love those things. As we say today, we are to hate the sin, love the sinner. Continuing, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So those are the ways of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the things that the overcomers will overcome. Those are the things that we need to overcome, friends. Verse 17, it says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." That's a repeat of what Jesus said. The one who enters heaven is the one who does the will of Jesus' Father, which is in heaven. So if you do the will of God, the will of you also can abide forever. That's a promise for every one of you. I want to take us back now to the book of Revelation. So one of the conditions of salvation is that we overcome the world, that we overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Revelation 22, 14 and 15. What is another condition of salvation? Revelation 22, 14 and 15. It reads, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life." Again, having right to the tree of life is something God's people will have in eternity. "That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." And why are they able to do so? Because they kept God's commandments. They did his commandments. Verse 15, "For without," meaning outside the city, "are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Friends, remember, David warns us against regarding iniquity in our hearts. We must have no regard for iniquity in our hearts, friends. We want to have God's commandments written in our hearts and minds. And those who do his commandments are the ones who will have a right to the tree of life. Now, in the same book, let's back up to chapter 21, verse 24. It says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." That means the holy city. And verse 26, "And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So again, friends, those who enter the holy city, remember, those who enter the holy city are the same as those who live in eternity. And they will not be liars. They don't make lies. And their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friends, I don't know about you. I don't want to be one who would be defiling to God's kingdom. And of course, if any one of us is one who would defile his kingdom, guess what? We're not going. And then, who else inhabits eternity? I think we all know the answer to that. Chapter 21. Actually, before that, let's read verse 8 in Revelation 21. Another warning. "But the fearful and unbelieving." Remember, the fearful are the ones who are afraid of the Lord. Why? Because they rebel against him. Their hearts are against him. Starting over, verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers," those who use magic, "and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Remember, friends, one of the promises to the overcomers, "He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." So again, those of us who overcome the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, will not be hurt of the second death. So now again, who else inhabits eternity? Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Friends, that's another area where we need to examine ourselves. Do our hearts desire to be in heaven with God, or do we desire the things of this world, things that don't correspond with God? That's an important question to ask ourselves. But it tells us that God will be with men. He'll be with his people. Chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, meaning in the city, and his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Don't you want to see your Creator face to face? We have not had that privilege, friends. After our first parents fell, man lost the privilege of seeing his Creator face to face. Not only that, but ever since the fall of our first parents, man has not been in harmony with God. We have to remember that. There are a lot of things that people in this world do. Many do it many are in ignorance. We've all been there. We've all done some things that didn't correspond with God because we didn't know any better. But my point is that ever since our first parents fell, man has not been in harmony with God. And that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to bring a people into harmony with him before Jesus can come. Now let's go to the Old Testament. If you remember, the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. Just before Malachi, you have the book of Zechariah. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. And we'll read verse 8. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 8. It reads, And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Again, do we, friends, desire to live a life of truth and righteousness, or do we want the darkness of this world? In the same book, chapter 14, verse 9, Zechariah 14:9. It reads, And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Think about it, friends. We won't have so many countries on this earth anymore. Some with ruthless rulers. We won't have that anymore. There will be only one ruler, God himself. Do we want that? Rather than the things of this world. Because when you desire the things of this world, one of the things that comes with it, separate countries, separate governments, again, some with ruthless rulers. Governments that have, yes, some sincere men in governments, but yet some of Satan's agents in the governments. We don't want that anymore, friends. We should desire the Lord himself to be our ruler alone. Now I want to take us to Zephaniah. We'll back up to Zephaniah. Just before Zechariah, you have Haggai. Just before Haggai, Zephaniah. Chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah 3:17. It reads, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." I don't know about all of you. This is a verse that leaves me speechless. We can't even imagine, right now in our present state, we can't even imagine what it would sound like hearing one angel sing. Try to imagine thousands of angels singing. We can't do that. But better yet, above everything, God himself is going to sing. That's just impossible to imagine. Impossible for us to imagine what that's going to sound like. But that's how much he wants every single one of you in his kingdom. Once he sees you, he's going to take the time to sing because he sees you there. Don't you want God singing over you? I know I want him singing over me. I don't deserve it, but I desire it. Now let's back up to Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. So the people who will live in eternity, again, are those who overcome the world, those who overcome the wicked one, those who overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They will be those who do God's commandments. They don't work abomination. They don't make lies. And of course, and last but not least, God himself inhabits eternity, and he will be with his people. It says in Isaiah 66, 22 and 23, "For as the new heavens and new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." So again, the Lord's visible presence will be with his people in eternity. The overcomers, those who do his commandments. In closing, let's turn to five more places in the Bible, starting with Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Again, we find out that those who will be with God in eternity are the humble ones, not the proud or haughty ones. Or arrogant ones. It says in Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Let's turn to chapter 62. Isaiah 62:12. The Lord says to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And what shall they be called? Isaiah 62:12. "And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken." Don't you want to be part of that, friends? Are these promises important to you? Friends, to us, these promises should be just as real, if not more real, than anything that we can have or see here on this earth, or anything we can do here on this earth. It should be real to us at all times. Let's turn to Psalm 37, verses 8 to 11. Remember, Jesus said Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, those who are willing to suffer for God, those who do not allow themselves to act the same way as the wicked. Psalm 37, verses 8 to 11. The psalmist says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." The wicked won't be anymore, friends. Verse 11, "But the meek," there we have it again, "but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Don't you want to delight yourself in the abundance of peace? Don't you want to get away from this present world? That's a promise that each one of us here can claim. Let's turn to the New Testament, two more places, Matthew 25, 34. Matthew 25, 34. Jesus says here, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Friends, I believe God did not intend for Adam and Eve, our first parents, to commit sin. I believe he did not intend for man to sin at all. He did work out the plan of salvation, praise God, so that if man did sin, and that's what happened, God can save him. But I believe it was God's original intention for man that we would inherit the kingdom. He says, prepared from the foundation of the world. That means the creation. I believe it was God's intention from day one that man would take the place of the angels who fell. And we can still, praise God, we can still claim that promise thanks to the plan of salvation. And finally, let's turn to Revelation 21, verses 5 to 7. Revelation 21, 5 to 7. It reads, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Again, friends, I invite you to, in your own time, examine yourselves. What do you desire? The things of this world? Friends, it's unfortunate, but even in the Christian world, many of us still think it's a virtue to act the same way as the world. God says it's not. God says we must overcome. We must overcome, again, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And Jesus says, "Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Friends, by the grace of God, may every one of us here be overcomers, doers of God's commandments, that we may live in eternity. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us Jesus and the hope of eternal salvation through him. We thank you so much for giving us your Holy Scriptures, revealing to us the plan of salvation. And we pray that you'll give each one of us here a desire to be with you in your kingdom And we thank you so much for telling us of the promised land. Again, we ask that you give us a desire to be there with you. And we thank you so much for the angels protecting us. Again, for giving us your holy scriptures. We thank you for sending the Holy Ghost to comfort, guide, and teach us. And we ask that your Spirit will continue to teach us as we leave this house of worship today. And we thank you and praise you again most of all for the great sacrifice of your Son, our Lord Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen.